Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversary, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
We will
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight. Here we go live to the whole world. We're heading over now for Facebook and YouTube. Let's go. Good evening, community of faith.
Good evening, community of faith. We always love being here with you all.
Community of faith.
I declare over your life today, grace and faith.
Amen.
Amen. So as we get started, we're both typing, so you have to hear our words. You have to hear them in the spirit. So we welcome you. Tonight's going to be a great night of faith.
Amen.
But every time we come together, it's a great night of faith.
Yes, it is.
And we're glad to have you with us. What's going on with my cords over here?
We just have far too many, that's all.
Not sure what that's all about. But we just fixed it. Got to get the camera in the right place. It's that boom camera. It's the one that reaches all the way around the whole room. That was a good joke and a really smart thing to say. I'm not sure that everybody caught it, saw the importance or the significance of it, but hey.
I totally missed
it. It was, hey, Phyllis K. Raymond with a whole...
First one in the door.
With a great big bunch of crappie. No, what is it they eat?
Crawfish.
Crawfish. Dan Cottle's right behind her with a big filet mignon.
No.
Welcome, 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 welcome.
Hello.
For those of you that don't know, these two warriors are some serious warriors right here.
Amen.
We'll take these two with us into any battlefield. Phyllis will be riding in a chariot with a big fancy chair.
Wow, cool.
Brother Dan will come in his personal flight device like a helicopter, hauling a big load. And for all of you who are in the viewing audience, the live audience, please silence your cell phones. So that we have no unnecessary. All right.
Do you need to send Ruby?
Yeah. Steak for lunch today.
Wow, that was good.
I've had a great day of feasting today. Sister Leanne made me 2 eggs. On bololos or whatever those things are called this morning. And then for lunch, I had a beautiful, beautiful bowl of potato cheesy soup while I talked to Brother Chris Timmer for about half an hour. That was awesome. And then for supper, I had some...
Did you have supper yet?
I think I had... Fritos that are scoops. That's what I had. Beans and ham with fresh made rolls. Woo-hoo-hoo. Dan must be home. I speak life and health and strength to your body, Dan Cottle. I speak it to Kathy Angaroni, Phyllis K. Raymond, Mary Pastorek. We speak it right now to Christine Barkley, Brother Ken Brumbaugh, and Ben Jackson, and all of that family, life and life more abundantly. We speak healing in Brother Al's back,
amen.
Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare complete, absolute, total recovery for everybody who has had a physical attack this year.
Amen. Amen.
And for all of you, you and your family in a spiritual attack, we win.
Amen.
Right now tonight.
We win. Hi, Rebecca.
Rebecca Smith. How are you, ma'am?
Beans and ham with fresh... Oh, did you read that already?
I did, man.
Wow, yum.
I did. You got to get caught up here.
I should be able to.
You can't be
now.
Hanging around the edges like this. You got to get right down in the middle of it. I love it. Don't you love technology? Blog Talk Radio is with us all over Europe. And Russia and China and Asia. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Africa, South America, we welcome you.
Welcome you.
North America, we welcome you too. In the mighty name of Jesus. all backs to be healed whole and perfect, like brand new for everyone. Like really, man, like really. I agree, Rebecca. And I declare that no matter what the symptoms are, they're just symptoms. And the awesome, wonderful, amazing, powerful blood of Jesus, stripes of Jesus, word of God, power of the Holy Spirit flowing through everybody. And Ken Brumbaugh walked through the door.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
Peace, love, and brotherhood to you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, love, and brotherhood. Greetings.
Name of Jesus.
Now listen, some of you have a good nickname, but Brother Ken's CB handle is Born Again. What better title can you get than that one, huh?
Yeah.
Born Again.
Love it.
Stayed together all day. Thanks, everyone. Still expecting his promises to be filled.
Amen.
Every day. He swore by an oath, Dan, on two immutable things that cannot be changed. Himself and himself. Hallelujah. What a testimony. What a testimony. The next testimony we need to hear is Brother Chris coming on and saying, the papers are signed. And they're in the house. And I'm up jumping around and dancing in this hospital right now. And we want Francetta to come and say, Ben just called and he's out running a marathon.
Amen.
I speak life to Joey. I speak life to Michael. I speak life to every one of our brothers and sisters that are fighting this same battle. Life to you. Life, 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 life.
Amen.
It's going to be a good night. I hope you're tuned up and ready to have a good night of faith. Because it's going to come at you hard, fast, and continually tonight.
Live in faith. We live by faith. Walk by faith.
And we walk by faith and not by sight. What is that? Goodness sakes alive. Do not change anything else on me for my rest of my time on earth. Be like Jesus and don't change. Here you go, love. I'll let you read this tonight while we're getting a few more people invited.
Turn my live captions off. I have to do that every time. Welcome to the Community of Faith with Pastor Samuel J. Cottle and the Community of Faith family. And there is Pastor's email address, and there is our website address. We're on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio. We are on Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time for Midday Munitions, which is an hour and a half of prayer. And there's always some lesson in there, too. And then we have an interactive Bible study Monday through Saturday, 7 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we have an hour of faith teaching on Sundays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time.
Amen.
Welcome. Welcome.
Now you can read this one.
All right.
You're a great reader, and you have wonderful expressions as you
goodness.
Read.
This one is hard to read. This is the Community of Faith. This is our statement and our verses that we live by. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And Hebrews 11:6, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We are an international family of mountain-moving believers, a growing community of faith. We gather together to study and believe the word for what it actually says, to be free of religiosity and live by faith. We establish a power grid of prayer for the United States of America and the body of Christ. Our process, like I said, we're on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio. We do have confession and prayer books and a website, and tent of meetings are in our near future. Our first mission statement is to effectively meet people's needs and propel them to their eternal destinations. Learning to walk in the righteousness of God, producing the joy of being one with the Father. Preach the gospel of the kingdom, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and you too. Bringing the greatest breakthrough in life to everyone who meets us. Amen. Demonstrate all the promises of God. Amen. Help every believer move from glory to glory and faith to faith and grace to grace. And help every believer find their place
and function in their grace.
Amen.
Now, for those of you wondering if the cold is coming your way, well, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It might not get to you, but we have, at the current moment, a beautiful balmy 19 below zero here. We want all of you to feel warm and cuddly and be glad and happy for the beautiful weather that you have. Now, we often talk here. Jasna Parvin, welcome. Glad to have you, man. Sir, I better be careful how I say that since that's from a different country. Jasna Parvin, we're glad you're with us.
Amen.
Male or female, whatever that is. We welcome you today in Jesus' name. Tell us where you're streaming from and we'll all shout glory with you.
Yeah.
Now, tonight, we're finished. We are, right now I got the great cloud of witnesses up, and I want you to see that it's still a little cloudy.
Well, yes, it is. It's a lot cloudy. You can't see anything else.
Some of you have felt like that when you go to heaven, you're going to sit on a cloud. All right. Well, that's what it would look like if you did. But I don't think in the nature of our God, who's always doing something, you know, that you're going to just sit around on a cloud like the witnesses are. But anyways, they're called a great cloud of witnesses because they're up above us looking down saying, come on, everybody, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Well, tonight we want you to stick around. So funny, I forgot to laugh. I've been telling you that I got a couple messages I want you to hear. And one of them is from Dr. Lester Summerall. I consider this one of the greatest messages on faith you'll ever hear. And he's preaching this down toward the end of his ministry career, his life here on earth. It's one of the most amazing messages of faith you'll ever hear. I got him all tuned up. So when we come back, after we say a few things to everybody, then we're going to kick Dr. Summerall off. And when he's finished, if he doesn't get paid good enough, I've got about 15 verses I can preach. So, Brother Roger Oxy, I got a good word for you, man. We got enough word tonight to last us all night long if you feel like another 8 hours, brother. All right, here we go. Rise together with me. And we'll get ourselves started this evening with the Pledge of Allegiance. Welcome, everybody. Brothers and sisters, as you see people sign in, make sure you welcome them as we get this big faith machine rolling tonight. Brother Dan is at the wheel. We got an 18-speed transmission. And We got all the power we need because he's called the Holy Spirit. Brother Ken Brumbaugh is behind pushing. Well, you got truck drivers. You got to talk their language, you know. All right. God bless you. If you'll rise together with me, we will make our pledge of allegiance. I'm fired up about tonight. How about you? Woo! It's going to be a good night all night long.
Amen.
Here we go. Render your honor. Let's make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. I told many people I would never forget. And you are helping me be faithful to that word. I honor my brother today, Kenneth V. Welch, Chief Warrant Officer, 2nd Class, killed in battle, or killed in his duty in Beirut, Lebanon, at the embassy. We honor you tonight. Ken, I bless you, Brother Mike. This moment of silence is in honor of every Gold Star family that will stand somewhere today, in honor of their loved ones' life lived, service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds. In honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now, join with me as we make the pledge of allegiance to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Thank you, Father, that you always lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake.
Amen.
And now, join with me as we begin our time of prayer this evening for the United States of America, for you and I, our brothers and sisters, and for this program on this evening. As we were in worship today, it came to me that when you look at what we've done, it's all because of who God is.
Amen.
It's all because of who he is. So I would like to ask you to join with me and the great cloud of witnesses. Let's just sing our song we sing on a regular basis. Ready? For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hands to heaven. We exalt your mighty name. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hearts to heaven. We exalt your mighty name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Jesus, we give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor. We give you all of the praise for everything that's been accomplished here at the Community of the Faith. We give you glory, Lord, for the growth and the development and the change that's come over every one of our lives. Thank you, Father, that you've shown us your ways. As it says in the book of Psalms, that you made known your ways to Moses and your hand to the children of Israel. And we get to see them both. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you that here at the Community of Faith, you gave us the revelation early on. It's not hidden from us. It's hidden for us, for our desire, for our search, for our diligence in walking with you and dwelling with you and studying your word and focusing on your word in our lives. Thank you, Father, for the revelation by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for your presence in our lives every single day. We give you the glory, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise, Jesus, for your blood that was shed, the sacrifice that was made, the propitiation that you are, the righteousness that we get to live in And the faith that we walk in, that's your faith. We give you glory tonight, Jesus, because it all belongs to you. And now, as we pray over our brothers and sisters, as we pray over the community of faith, the International Faith and Prayer Network, as we pray over the United States of America and other nations around the world, we pray in faith because of what you've done in our lives, and we give you glory for it, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. God and Father of every brave warrior, every brave patriot, every pastor, every leader, every prayer warrior team, every intercessory prayer group, every patriotic organization, every constitution organization, the We the People groups, everyone that tonight is standing and defending this great nation, we bless you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you tonight. And we join with you and our voices and say, God bless America. May God bless America tonight. Right now, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that all across this nation and around the world, prayer warriors are standing in the gap, making up the hedge, and being diligent, fervent, the righteous prayer going up from their lips to heaven. Add our faith to that international network of faith, and we receive from it faith and their prayer of agreement. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give glory and we give honor and we give praise to your mighty, awesome name, Jesus. You told us in the book of Psalms 133 that there's a commanded blessing of unity. Everybody speak it with me. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious anointing oil on the head of Aaron running down, the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. We receive that commanded blessing of unity, and we declare right now over the lives of every person here and all around this nation, we declare, God bless America. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, which are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness on the inside of us. Jesus, bless every person that's here. Bless every family that's represented here. We represent an amazing cross-section of the United States of America and the world, and we bless them in whatever nation they're in. May righteousness rule around this world before you come back in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We say to every perverse, corrupt politician, we don't care what you say, call your party. We declare, if you are corrupt, you are fired. If you work for my company, you would be fired. And you work for us, the American people, you're fired. Now, we don't want no hurt to come to you, but you got to stop your ways, because we can't stop the harvest you're getting ready to earn by the seeds you've sown. And we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, all across the the board of our politics in America. May the innocent, deceived people get away from these wicked people that are bent on destroying themselves and this great nation. Have mercy, Lord, where you can have mercy. As stewards of this great Constitution and this great nation, we declare they no longer can function in their corruption, in their violence, in their perversion, and be leaders in this nation.
Amen.
We, the people, fire you and say, leave our offices now. And don't take anything with us, with you either, you bunch of thieves, in the mighty name of Jesus. And now, Father, we bless every patriotic event that's happening right now tonight. No matter what it is, may they open with the pledge. May they open with the prayer that talks about you, Jesus, being Lord, and restoring righteousness and peace to our nation. Bless the peacemakers wherever they are around this nation, making peace tonight in Jesus' mighty name. We speak now over the fivefold ministry, and we declare over the body of Christ. We speak over the community of faith that's with us here on the Facebook Live and YouTube Live, Blog Talk Radio, any other place they may send this. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you now, and we declare, Father, help us to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We speak these next verses now over the body of Christ, every denomination included. Speak it with me. There is one body, one spirit, just as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And now, Father, we bless the leadership of the church, and we proclaim these verses boldly over them to do the work you've given them to do. Speak it boldly with me. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus the Christ. Say it. I'm going to be as tall as Jesus.
I'm going to be as tall as Jesus.
The measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, he said we can be full like him. Let's be full.
Amen.
Let's speak it together. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my supply to this body, and we all grow together. In Jesus' mighty name, That's a powerful set of words, isn't it?
It is.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your instruction and your leadership to pray this way. And now, Father, we bless our peacemakers, wherever they may be, around this nation and around the world. Bless the men and women that are out here in Montana and North Dakota in these severe sub-zero weathers. We declare their equipment functions properly. We declare nobody's left out all by themselves anywhere. Every place where the roads are closed, may people just honor it and be faithful, good people here in North Dakota. We bless our peacemakers in the most violent cities of this nation. May the angels of Almighty God surround you and protect you and keep you safe. Pray this prayer with me tonight. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion.
We
highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain.
We
declare that this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land.
We pray your faith.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Father, we speak right now over the community of faith. We lift up these prayer requests that we've had throughout this year. And we declare that every person who this year has brought a prayer request to us, and they're still fighting with a symptom of that, we're finishing this year in faith. We're finishing this year in hope and in love and in great power. And so right now, we bless Sister Mary, Pastor Rick's church, who in the last year has lost two of their pastors to COVID. Give them healing and health and strength. Bless these families. We bless all of the families that are connected to us in any way who have had one of their loved ones cross over to the other side because of COVID.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pour in the healing balm of Gilead tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak right now over the Davis family. Chris Davis and Vic Davis, Debbie Davis and Vic Davis, who their loved ones have gone to heaven, people that were on our program, in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak over the Chaffee family, Mary's pastor. We declare over Julian and Vamala, life and health and strength in their bodies. Brother Ken and Tisha and Christine and Sherry Gilbert. Brother Al Barton, in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare that there is life and life more abundantly. Life for Michelle Robinson and their family. I declare the Robinson family and Rob and Elisa Craig's family build an immunity to this stinking COVID, and it never comes back to them again another day. We bless Sunday Geyser and her grandson, and we bless Chris and their family, and we speak life into this family now in the mighty name of Jesus. Bob and Sandy Holbrook, we speak life to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare tonight over our community of faith, faithful is he who calls us, who also will do it.
Bryn just texted and she tested positive for COVID today too.
I speak over Bryn and Scott and Denise and the whole family. We rebuke this sickness and we declare it will not go any farther than Bryn.
Amen.
We declare it does not spread.
Amen.
And we speak life into her body now. Life more abundantly.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you for this prayer warrior team that we have with us, that'll every night will stand in faith, in prayer, in power, in strength, and will be a part of moving mountains for other people. Thank you that they're not selfish. Thank you that they'll use their faith to help their brothers and sisters. And they'll not be, thank you, they're not offended when in prayer's not about them every time. And that they just are filled with faith and courage and boldness. As we stare down these enemies in these last days, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you that you showed us in the book of Thessalonians that we are the power, that we, because of you in us, are the authority on this earth, that we are seeing mighty, mighty works happening because we stand in faith and walk with you every single day in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak over Kathy Angaroni and Mary Pastorek. All effects of the stroke have been cursed. And Father, we give you glory and honor and praise that they have all of their abilities. Everybody say it with me. No damage to the brain. Everybody, put your hands on your head. Everybody just do this. Say, no damage to my brain.
No damage to my brain.
Whether I got in a car accident,
fell out of a tree,
fell off my bike, the old horse kicked me off your back. Say it. All of my faculties are healed.
All of my faculties are healed.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of
Jesus. And we speak it. Now, I want you to think about what I just said. You fall off your bike and bang your head. You might not notice that effect. We got that request from Sister Gloria Copeland the other day. And we're going to pray for Gloria right now.
Yeah.
Can I have that letter? Sister Leanne will get it for us. She's one of our giants of the faith right now. Sister Gloria is a giant of the faith. We received a letter today about her. Brother Copeland asking us to pray for her. Because of a traumatic brain injury she had back in the 60s, I guess.
Yeah, 1966.
This is what the doctor, Dr. Avery Jackson, has given them instruction to pray. He's a man of faith. He's one of the Copeland's disciples. And so this is a man of faith telling us what to speak over Sister Gloria's body. So here we go. Pray for divine neuron connections and repair. I speak it now over you, Gloria. We sow it in faith. I want every one of you to say that over your own self. Divine neuron connections.
Divine neuron connections.
And prayer and repair.
And repair. For Gloria Copeland.
And for me.
And for me.
I'm saying it over both of us. Pray for improved blood flow and oxygenation.
We pray for improved blood flow and oxygenation.
For Sister Gloria.
For Sister Gloria.
And for everyone in our family.
And for everyone.
We pray for improved brain stem cell function.
Pray for improved brain cell function.
In my body.
In my body.
And in her body.
And in her body.
Improved memory.
And improved memory.
And whatever this big word is. Neuroplasticity. Pastor, why are you doing this? Well, when we read the letter, they were in an accident. How many of us have been in an accident? I've been in about 4 or 5. How many ever fell off your bike, banged your head, fell out of a tree, had the horse buck you off? See, all of that is things that can happen. And when Brother Copeland was saying that, I'm like, wow, I'm going to pray that tonight over everybody that's here.
Yeah.
Maybe you were in sports. You got your bell rang in the football field, playing basketball or something.
My goodness, yeah.
Playing hockey. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak healing over every one of you. Say this with me. I speak life.
Life.
Put your hands right on yourself. I speak life.
And
life more abundantly to me and my family and to Sister Gloria. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. You're telling us that your brother didn't mean to drop a hammer on you? What about people who took a hammer to the head from somebody? Well, we're not going to focus on the loss. We're going to focus on the blessing in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now, let's talk about the community of faith again. For those of you that were not able to get connected with us on Saturday night, we truly apologize for that. I don't think I've had that much trouble technologically since we got started. Absolutely nothing worked together like it was supposed to. And Brother Al accidentally, I don't know about accidentally, but unknowingly, Brother Al somehow started a messenger thread, and he really didn't know that he did that until, of course, Brother Dan started talking in the background. And Brother Al was like, I think I hear voices. So I truly apologize to those of you that wanted to be a part of that. I really do. I worked so hard to put that all together, and I thought I had it mastered, and it just didn't work. And I couldn't get to where I needed to go in Zoom, click the right button so that everybody could be a part of it, which is crazy. I've had a lot of Zoom meetings in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Brother Dan and I have been on Zoom together over and over.
I wonder if it was overwhelmed that night, maybe because it was Christmas Eve. A lot of families may have been Zooming.
Well, that could have very well been. That maybe it was just the system was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And from now on, Zoom, get your stuff together and don't become overwhelmed. What's wrong with you? Anyways, so I apologize to you. But what we did learn is that we can do a messenger thread, and that'll be a blessing to us from time to time. I talked to you about doing Dr. Hilton Sutton's videos for you and being able to play them on Zoom like that. And I went on and did a test, and it doesn't work. They don't allow the videos to be played. It plays the audio, but it doesn't play the video. Now, which is not really a big deal because he doesn't do anything except sit at a desk anyways. But it's just always good to be able to see the teacher's face if you can. So I'm still working on that, seeing how I can make that come to pass. So that'll be a blessing to you. Because I know by instruction of God that we're supposed to be doing that. And get that understanding of the book of Revelation on the inside of us. Now, the first of the year, every year, we begin with a fast. Fasting is a powerful force of the Christian life. And as Brother Dan sent us last night, right out of his Bible, the front page of his Bible there, I'll see if I can read it. It says, probably the most prominent characteristic of the early Christian church was its spiritual power. They fasted and prayed fervently, and their faith released the miracle-working power of God. Acts encourages us that ordinary people can do extraordinary things. That's a good word, Brother Dan. Thanks for sending it to us. So we're going to talk about fasting one of the days as we begin this new year, and then we'll have a fast that we can all do together. I encourage you to learn to fast and live a fasted life. Jesus said this kind of unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting. So if you don't want to have unbelief in your life, fast and pray and deal with the unbelief. You're not dealing with the demons. You're dealing with the unbelief. And so thank God for that. I have learned this in fasting, that when you don't give your body what it wants, your whole body will begin to cry out for God to do something. The whole body will be saying, they're going to kill us. They're going to starve us to death. And you'll say to your body, guess what, body? I am a spirit, and I am in charge of you. So as soon as you learn to shut up and give me no more trouble, then I'll stop fasting you. Anyways, it's a powerful teaching. We'll have that this next week, and we'll begin, and we'll fast throughout the month of January. I believe it's going to give you great strength, and you're going to start this year out with great power beyond anything you've ever known. Fasting, amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Fasting is not about starving. Amen. That's just not what it is. It's not about starving. So YouTube is live. I want our friends to be able to hear about our beginnings of our year. So tonight, you know, is the 28th. We will have a program on New Year's Eve. We will. Because that's what we do. I'm a party guy. I like to play party. I would really like to find out how we can play euchre on Zoom together. You got to be away. Somebody's figured it out. But I'm not going to go through a casino to get it done.
Amen.
And we're not playing for money because we're not gambling. But I like to get together and have a fun time. And since we got so many Michiganders, euchre is the game of the Michiganders. And we can teach all the rest of y'all what it's all about. Hi, Bryn Cheryl.
Hi, Bryn.
We called you healed in Jesus' name a minute ago.
Just praying for you.
From the top of your head to the bottom of your footsie wootsies. In Jesus' mighty name, we love you. This next year is going to be a really, really, really powerful year for you and I to do things we've never done before.
Amen.
We've had a pretty good year this year. We saw God do some pretty amazing things through this gathering of believers right here. And we want to see more of it than has ever been, that's ever been happening before. Amen, Kathy. What do they say? Euchre's like, I'm not going to get it, so I'm not worried about it. People say Euchre's like something else, and that's cool. Anyways, we're going to see more this year than what we saw last year. And I declare in Jesus' name, we're going to get some live services with you guys in them. And may God help us get to some of our friends around the world and be a blessing to them. Wouldn't you love to go visit Julian and Vimala?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Go visit Sister Elaine in Samoa?
Yeah.
We can just kind of hop, skip our way right across the Pacific and be a blessing. Now, wait a minute. I don't want anybody right now to say, well, Pastor, you know how much that would cost? Quit worrying about that. You know how big heaven is? All we have to do is have Jesus put in some new curbs up in heaven, and we got the biggest chunks of gold you ever saw. So he ain't going to put in new curbs because they're already made perfect, but... our Father is the kind of God that likes to do good things. And I encourage you that you get your book out. How many of you did what I said last night? Got your notebook out and started writing in it. I keep turning my page so you can't see what I'm writing because what I'm writing is personal to me. All right? But I want you to start writing. All right? I want you to write victories that you had this year. I want you to write on the answer prayer. I want you to write things that you got accomplished you never thought you would. So put some great accomplishments on there. And then I want you to write down some goals, focus points for this next year. And I want you to get this done by New Year's Eve. This is an assignment, and you better get it done, or I'm going to have to mark your paper up. Ready? I'll be like, can you please hold your paper up, Sister Kathy Angaroni? Going to have to figure it out again. I still have closed caption, Mary. Not sure what that's all about on your end, but I have it over here on my end. So glory be to God. Glad everybody didn't lose the closed caption.
I turned mine off.
Oh, you might have turned it off too. Yeah.
Because
you can turn them off. You can turn it off. Let me say it differently. Some people can turn it off. Hey, I haven't seen Roger Oxy with us yet. Somebody call Brother Roger and say, you all right, man? We got to have I Love the Word with us tonight. Everybody give me just a pause for a second. It was very interesting. Brother Roger and I, the other night, got on the phone. Couldn't figure out why he was having so much trouble. And you know what? Somehow, somebody had me blocked on his phone. Now, there ain't no reason Roger would ever block me. We've never had a harsh word with each other in any sense of the word. But I've found this to be the case in more than one person's technology. If you start having trouble getting stuff from me, I want you to start looking at your settings and say, wait a minute. We don't have nothing against the community of faith or Pastor Sam. Because in the day we live, all kinds of crazy things are happening. And you can say, well, that never happened. But I'm going to tell you right now, what we've been seeing happening, it happens. And we just thank God for the access we have to make things work like we do. Now, let's get ourselves set up here for the program tonight. Because you guys are going to like this. You are going to like it. All right? This is Dr. Lester Summerall, and he is preaching. I consider this the greatest lesson of faith, one of the greatest messages of faith you'll ever hear. He spends an hour and 15 minutes telling you stories from his life. And in so doing, you're going to see another side of Lester Summerall you may have never seen if you've never met Dr. Summerall. Dr. Summerall was one of the greatest missionaries of our day. He literally walked half this globe on his feet.
Yeah.
All right? And he'll tell his story, so I'm not going to. All right? And what we're going to do is I got my speaker system all set up. I've got I got my share all set up. And Dr. Lester Summerall is getting ready to go. I've already been in communication with him, asking him if everything's set up like he needs it. You know, we bought him a special hamburger right before we got started, and he's had plenty to eat. And Mary put a cherry pie in the oven. All right.
Yum.
Well, by the time Dr. Summerall's finished preaching, we're going to be able to have hot cherry pie with ice cream. All right. I encourage you. Call somebody up right now and tell them, get on the program, because you don't want to miss this one. In Jesus' mighty name. Wait, I got to do one more thing here. Not that one. You got to do this. And I got to do this. And I got to do this. And we're going to go like this. Let's see here. Get all the buttons clicked. All right. On your mark, get set.
We need to understand things that are happening around us. God don't want us to be ignorant. I appeared in court in Chicago and had to give testimony to the judge. They put records in their law books in Chicago. That devil does possess humans. And that human can become demonized. Strange that in America you have to go to court to tell that, you know. But the man had killed two people. And he claimed he was demon-possessed. It was a very strange case. He said he should be set free because he was demon-possessed. You heard the old slogan, the devil made me do it. He was playing that game. But the judge was smarter. He's still in jail. Hallelujah. Good to see you, everybody. The Lord bless you. We got back from Europe last Saturday. And we were in Germany this time. Now, I don't have, you know, 4 or 5 hours to do this. I'd like to, but I don't quite have that long. But there's three prophetic spots in the world. One is Russia. Now, don't get too upset over what's happening up there. There has to be this military power to come against Israel to fulfill Ezekiel 38 and 39. And so what's happening up there is right straight down the prophetic area. So don't get scared about it. It'll be all right. And the other is the common market. We had our big giant plane, you know, the big Hercules, all over Europe. We were with the Kurds for 6 weeks, feeding the Kurds with that giant plane. And when we got our bills from Europe, our bills were in euro dollars. And they hadn't printed them yet. And they hadn't circulated them yet. And the euro dollar is worth $1.10 of American money. And we had to pay our bills for fuel and things like that in euro dollars. They want to get to 92 so bad they don't know what to do. And they, in 92, they will have the largest group of people in the history of the world who voluntarily used one currency. Dictators have made people do it, but they're going to do it voluntarily. We're coming to the time of the Antichrist very dramatically. Very dramatically. Now, I keep going back over to Europe because reading about it, hearing about it, it doesn't go deep enough inside if you're a preacher. You have to feel it. You have to get with it, you know. So about every month, we go, and sometimes twice a month, we go and preach in the different countries of Europe. And we go across the Atlantic, Charles, so many times until even the stewardess says, glad to see you again. You say, what do you say? I just hate that travel. But if you're going to get to the people, you have to go. You can't get to them in a rocking chair. A rocking chair has a lot of action. It just don't go anywhere. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, now faith is, what is faith? A better word for faith is trust. I think you can understand it. We so abuse that little word, faith, until it's like a dish rag. It'll go anywhere. But trust. If you say, how much faith do I have? How much trust do you have? What is faith? I noticed you getting up and down here a little bit ago. And I didn't see one of you sit down slow. If that seat had been made of cardboard, you would. You say, why did I sit down hard? Because you saw the steel legs under there. And why would you sit down hard? Experience. What is faith? Experience. Yeah. Faith is experience. Faith is not magic. Faith is a life you live. And the reason so many people know so little about it, you think it's magic, and you're saying, give me faith, give me faith. God's saying, shut up, shut up. Because you don't know what you're talking about. You know. You say, Smith Wigglesworth had faith. He had a lot more than that, honey. He jumped out of bed about 7 o'clock in the morning and danced before the Lord for about 10 or 15 minutes, praising and magnifying God. You see. He didn't need an aspirin to get up. Are you here? Faith is a life that you live. And if you want faith to function in you, it is an act. It's not a dream, not a hope. It's an act that you perform. Faith can be so embedded inside of you until you make faith acts spontaneously. Yeah. In fact, I've never seen faith that was nervous. When Paul said, settle down, everybody. Have a little food. Everybody's safe. They were still holding on to those deck poles. And that old ship was chugging high and low. And they didn't know whether they were going to make it or not. He was the only one that had faith. Because faith is never nervous. You don't have faith. Don't you have faith? Faith revealed through your eyes a look of faith. Unbelief has its own look. Faith Faith is something that the way you walk, you know, you got it or you don't have it. Unbelief and doubt and depression gets into your feet even. Unless that's your eyes. Causes some of you men to lose your hair. Well, now, excuse me. When I was 17 years old, as the pastor said, I left my hometown in Panama City, Florida, to go out in evangelistic work. There were two things I didn't like. I didn't like churches, and didn't like preachers. So I stayed away from them. I went out in the country to the schoolhouse. I swept the floor with myself. I had a little handbill printed, paid for it, and delivered it free of charge to the people. And started a revival meeting. I wasn't an exhorter. I was an exhauster. It was pitiful, you know. But when I left home, I had 65 cents in the world. Did you know I didn't realize that till I counted my money after I got into the revival meeting? I said, I started up here with 65 cents. And now I got some bills to pay. Got to find a way to pay those bills. Did you know that I didn't worry about my 65 cents? And you know most people say, yeah, I want to go out in the ministry, you know. I'm waiting for God. Honey, you're going to die where you're sitting. God does not respond. Faith is an act. It's a spontaneous act. You do it without calculating. Can I do it? Can I make it? The Lord didn't do that on this building here. He just started building the thing. Said, money, get over here in a hurry. Those new buildings, Brother Billy Joe's building up here. He didn't wait until he got all the money. He said, come on, folks, let's walk together and pay for it in cash. You know that must have made the devil mad. Yeah. He don't like things like that. But faith is an act. And when you when it comes spontaneously, you're living in faith. Yeah. Now, the devil don't want you to know that. He wants you to always say, oh, God, give me faith. You wouldn't know what it was you had. You wouldn't know what to do with it. Because faith is a life that you live. It just flows from you. I had to be told by somebody, said, did you know you had faith? I said, do it, really? I didn't know it. If you'd asked me how I was living, I could tell you that. But I didn't realize that it was a faith motivation that was inside. I preached for a whole week to those farmers. No, I wouldn't call it preaching, really. I would say to those farmers, I want you to know I don't like you. And to tell you the truth, you stink. I was born in New Orleans, where we have Madison Avenue from New York. And we know how to cook, we know how to eat, and we know how to dress. You don't know any of it at all. And the only reason I'm here is because I was dying of tuberculosis. And God said if I would preach, I could live. Thank you for being here. Somebody's got to help me live. God bless the farmers. Fortunately, they enjoyed that. Nobody's ever told them that before. After being there for a week, I said, now let me see. You know, there has to be some money in this deal. When I went to church, I sat on the back seat and looked at the girls all the time, and I didn't know what went on really. So I said, now let me see, how did they do that? They did pass some plates or something around, at least on Sunday morning they did. I said, if I don't do that, I'm going to starve for sure. So after being there for a week, how many ever heard that phrase, pass the hat? And that's what we used to do. We'd borrow a hat. So I said, anybody loan me a hat? I don't know who farmer handed me his, but that horse had bitten off about half of it on this side. And we took that old beaten down hat, we passed it around, and you know, as soon as we got through, you know what he said? Give me my hat. As if he was going to lose something, you know. We had an altar out in front, and I spilt the offering over onto the altar. And I counted it out loud during church. One, two. These were all pennies. There wasn't a single nickel in the offering. There wasn't a single dime in the offering. I was 17 years old and brokenhearted. I said, I don't believe I can live on that. Then I got mad. I said, any of you farmers got any chickens? Everybody raise a hand. I said, we'll put a coop outside, and I don't mean maybe you bring chickens tomorrow night. But if you don't have dollars, if you got chickens, it's all the same. I said, anybody got any pigs? Every hand went up. This was during the Depression. This is 1930. And I said, we'll have a coop on this side for pigs. I don't mean maybe bring pigs tomorrow night. You should have been there the next night. We couldn't have church. We had so many chickens cackling. We had so many pigs groaning. The pigs knew they were going to make a sacrifice. And the chickens knew that it was only an offering they were going to get. I gave it all to a farmer, and he took it to the market the next day, the wholesale market, had more money than any preacher in 50 miles. You know, just because you're 17, you don't have to be dumb. You say, was that faith? I haven't qualified that one yet. I just know in about 6 or 7 months, I brought a brand new Ford for $485. So you don't have to be poor, even in the Depression.
Right.
You know, everybody was saying, oh, it's a Depression, Depression. But man, you're just in the wrong place. You get out in the country where they got plenty of produce, and there's no Depression out there. That's just Depression downtown where those poor folks live. We may all go back to the farm soon. Well, this went on for 3 years, and I had a good time. When I was 20 years old, God told me I had to go and preach overseas. So I said, well, all right. I don't want to. I don't like these people, much less those. I really want to go home. That's what I want to do. The Lord said, you've got to go to the mission field. So I went to San Francisco, and when I went to get on the boat, I had $12 in the world. Now, I had preached in San Francisco at Glad Tidings for 3 nights before I left the next day. And Dr. Craig had been there on the platform every night, and I'd preached. Souls got saved every night. I took the youth out of Bible college. I took the youth on the street for a street meeting before the service to show them how to do street meetings, because a country preacher knows how to hold street meetings. And so I listened pretty carefully to what pastors say, you know. And during those 3 nights, I noticed he never mentioned my name during the offering. And I got the idea that I wasn't going to get any. And I was right, you know. Now, he knew I was going off around the world. And he had a big church. Dr. Charles Price had been there. Amos Semple McPherson had been there. Smith Wigglesworth had been there. Howard Carter had been there. They'd all been there. It was one of the greatest churches in America at that time. And I'd preached there for 3 nights. And he didn't give me anything. But he was nice. He said, I'll take it to the boat. And I said, thank you, sir. And so he got one of his Bible school students to carry my suitcase, and he carried my briefcase, and I carried my hat and my coat. And we started down to the boat there in San Francisco. On the way down, he was a tall, stately, handsome gentleman. And he leaned over a little bit and says, Brother Sumrall, who is sending you around the world? And I said, Jesus. And his face looked as if he had thrown ketchup at him. I could tell he got angry. He said, that's all you young people say. Jesus has nothing to do with it. Now, so I didn't get an offering, you see. He says, I can see you going to China and starving to death. And you know, I'm Irishman. And Irishmen don't know when to laugh. They just laugh anytime. And that was so funny to me. I laughed on the street. And I said, in that case, brother, would you send a little tombstone over to China? He said, I was going to do this in China. Send a little tombstone over to China. It says, here lies Lester Sumrall. He starved to death trusting Jesus. He said, I won't send it. And I said, I won't need it. So it's all right. Now, that's a bad way to leave America, you know. He was three times my age. He was over 60. And one of the general presbyters, he asked me, he said, did you ask the brethren in Springfield about this? And I said, well, no. He says, my older brother told me to do it, and the younger brothers don't have any business messing with it. You know? So I said, I talk to the younger brothers. If the older brother says do it, better just do it, you know. Well, he didn't like that either. 3 years later, and I got back, and the first place I went was to a general counsel, and he was the first man I saw. He wrapped his arms around me, and he said, you're the nicest man in the world. He says, I'm so sorry. I abused you, didn't give you any money deliberately, and spoke to you so harshly. He says, I didn't know that you were going to do what you have done, because I had written for various magazines all over the world during that whole time that Brother Carter and I were going around the world together, and so everybody knew what was going on because we were the only ones moving around the world at that time. And so he apologized for it. And I said, that's quite all right because, you see, God was testing my faith. When I got to the dock, was he on the shake and tremble? He was helping me shake and tremble. And then say, I only got $12. My God, I can't stay in a good hotel all night. I didn't think about that at all. I just knew there are millions of people out there, and I was going to go get them. And I hadn't stopped getting them yet, but I'm going after them, you see. And I knew that was the thing God had called me to do, and I went. Now, that's what you call faith. Faith is an act. You don't wait till you got the money for it, you know. Faith is an act. When God says do it, how far can you trust Jesus? That is the extent of your faith. How far? And you trust him. And when your trust quits, that's the end of your faith right there. You see. But let me tell you what trust will do. As you're trusting Jesus, you get, number one, you get experience. And in the experience, you get knowledge. And so people can't shake you. You have knowledge. People can't say, hey, this don't work. You got experience. When you've got the real thing called faith, nobody can shake it. It's not possible for them to shake it because it's so bedded on the rock of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know that you know and you're sure that you're sure. Hallelujah. So we went on to Australia and got off. And the first meeting we had was in the largest church in Australia, in Brisbane, in Melbourne. And so I went down and I preached for them a whole week, Sunday through Sunday, and in those days they kept you with the saints. And if you take the S off of it, you'll know what you're talking about. We lived with the saints, and we preached for a whole week, and I noticed that he never mentioned my name except to preach, not in the offering part. And it came Sunday night, and he didn't mention my name. I got no money. Now, I had spent the little I had, and I had a meeting the next night about 100 miles away, and I had no money to get there. Now, I cried all night. When you're 20, that's all right, you know, cry all night. And then I told God, I think God likes this kind of language. I said, God, I want to tell you something, and this is it. I'll die in this room, but I won't leave until the tickets are brought here by you. I will not go on the street and say, ticket, ticket, ticket. Who's got a ticket? I said, I won't do that. I won't go down to the to the railroad and say, anybody got my ticket? Anybody got my? I said, I'll stay in this room. If you can't supply my needs here, you couldn't out there anyway. So I stayed in that room. And the next morning, the lady of the house knocked on the door, a very gracious person, says, breakfast is ready. I said, I don't want any. Thank you. I stayed in that room with the door locked. I kept telling God, you call me to go around the world and preach. This is the first place. And just like the last place, I didn't get any money. I didn't realize it at the time like I do now. Before we got a way off out there, God wanted to be sure I wouldn't turn back. And it didn't have one that would quit and go home. You see. And so I was there praying. And about an hour after that, the lady of the house knocked on the door again and said, Brother Sumner, there's a gentleman here to see you. I said, well, tell him to come in. So I opened the door. Now let me tell you what faith is. When I got up that morning, I showered and I dressed. I packed my suitcase. I packed my briefcase, which was a big one. And I put it by the door. And I laid my coat on it and my hat on it. And I said, God, for your information, anytime you bring the tickets, I'm ready. You know what you'd have done? It would have taken you an hour after the tickets arrived. You'd have still missed the plane, the train. Are you here? You do your part first before God does his. And if you're not willing to do your part, God's not willing to do his part. Is that all right? Yeah. Here's to this Australian, a great big man with tears running down his face. I said, oh, dear God, I got enough trouble without you. He said, I couldn't sleep last night. Well, I said, I didn't either. What's wrong with you? He says, if God don't reveal this ring right, I won't ever have any faith. I said, I wouldn't either. What are you talking about? I thought him and his wife had had a quarrel or something. He says, now, we all know that you're rich. I have more opportunities to laugh than any little man you've ever seen in your life, you know. I didn't have a dollar. 10,000 miles from home. And then I realized that Brother Greenwood hadn't given me any money because it got circulated that I was very rich. Now, you know, it's a great asset to you if you can look rich when you're poor. You can borrow money on your face. I bought a TV station that way. Yeah. He said, I like to do business with a prosperous man. And I saw him look at me. Up and down. I said, thank you, sir. We signed for over $1 million and I didn't have 10,000 in the world. I said, what's wrong with you, sir? He said, now we all know you're rich in our church here. Did you know when people tell me I'm rich, it makes me feel so good, I don't say anything about it. Yeah, it's a good feeling. You can't spend it, but it's a good feeling. It'll make you younger, you know. Yeah. But he said, God woke me up and said, you don't understand that this American doesn't understand our train system. Says to go where you're going today, you have to have a reserved place on that train. It's a reserve train. You don't just go buy a ticket and get on it. And it's also, besides being a reserve train, it's a reserve seat. You get seat number 12 and coach number 14. And says you have to have two tickets to ride that train. I said, never have in my life. Don't know even what you're talking about. But he says, God told me to go and buy those tickets. That's the reason I said, if this don't work, I'd never trust God again. Because we know you're rich. But you don't know our train system. And so I went and got two tickets. And here they are. I said, thank God. Hallelujah, the Lord God. Omnipotent reign it, you know. Yeah. He grabbed my suitcase and I grabbed my briefcase and two of the happiest men in the world. When we said goodbye at that train station, brother, we were flapping both wings at each other, you know. You say, why? Well, he had heard from God. I didn't have any ticket. I'd heard from God. I said, I'm not leaving this room till the tickets arrive. I'm not going outside this room. You will bring them here. Or I'll die here. That's what you call resolution. When you trust God like that, he turn hell over for you, you know. When you don't start saying, I'm going to give up, I'm going to quit, I'm going to go home, I'm going to get me a job and make a little money. No. You say, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring it in. And I'm ready. You see. And God says, hey, I like that. That's trust. Trust me to do it. And so we had a great time in Australia, 3 months, 4 months there. Went on around to Java, had a great time in Java, went on into Singapore, went up to Hong Kong, and the world was all in China. And hundreds of missionaries were in Hong Kong. They're in Nigeria because of the war. And so we had a great, I guess you'd call the thing a convention. They had a big hall down on the main street there in Kowloon. And the people were there, hundreds of them. Well, Brother Carter has a gift for laying on of hands for the Holy Ghost. So he'd have his meeting over in another area, and I get people saved and healed. I'd have mine in another area. And so we were having two meetings a night and having a great move of God in Hong Kong. The missionary that was keeping all of us lived fairly close to the rented church building. And up, he lived up on the second floor. They called it the first floor. Up on the second floor, and on the big porch every night, all the missionaries would sit out there, 12, 15, 20 of them, and have a cup of tea. And you know all they talked about? Tibet. Tibet's never had a visitor to come to it. Nobody would dare go to Tibet. Says, would you two men go to Tibet? Brother Carter was a courageous man. He said, yes, we will go. I had 10 cents in the world. Now, Mr. Carter was an Englishman from London. And when we first met, I guess in the first hour, he was twice my age. He said, young man, I never discuss finances. I'm a man of faith. I never discuss finances. Being an Irishman, I wanted to say, and you ain't married either. But you know, I kept quiet for the time being. He said, as long as we're together, we preach together, you get half the offering, I get half. If an occasion comes and you can't buy your own ticket, you stay till you can, and I'll go. Or if you can buy your ticket to the next place and I can't, I'll stay, and I'll meet you back over there when I get it. So we were two separate entities, and no communist pocketbook, or socialist either. And being older, he got along a little better. I figured, I never did find out because we didn't discuss it. But there in Hong Kong, he said, we're going to Tibet. And I said, yeah. Where are you going? I couldn't write a letter. I only had 10 cents. I couldn't ride the streetcar downtown and back. I didn't have anything. And the devil said, you're not going to Tibet. You're going to stay right here. Well, I said, no. The missionary said that nobody's going to Tibet and preach. We're going to go. He says, well, you can't go. You only got 10 cents. Now, if you got 10 cents, you're not broke. You're bent, but you're not broke. And I kept that 10 cents right in my front pocket so I could feel it. It's nice to feel it, you know. I kept looking in the mail every day for something from America. God never helps you the way you want him to. It happens to be his business and not yours. If he goes, oh, this one's going to give me money, that'll be the last one to ever give you anything. Right. You have to let God do what he wants to do. Amen. Well, I began to, at my first, that was my first time in the Orient. I was 21 years old now. And I had to get the people saved and then pray for the sick. And in both cases, all the Chinese looked alike. Now, you see, this was 34 and 35, 1935, and they all wore the same kind of clothes. They weren't colorful in those days. Same, hair was all black, eyes all black, and most of the women looked exactly alike. And after I'd prayed for about 2 hours, I said, it seems to me like you folks are making a circle. And I've already been around two or three times because I couldn't tell the difference in them. Brother Carter was getting hundreds of people through to the Holy Ghost and missionaries through to the gifts to where they could lay hands on others and they'd receive the gifts of speaking in tongues in the services and interpreting tongues and prophesying. We were having a great time, except every night that bunch of missionaries talked about Tibet and Brother Carter was hip, you know? Yeah, we're going to Tibet. Yes, we are. He poured that at me. He said, yeah. The devil said, how are you going to go? You'd only have a dime. How are you going to go? Well, later, Chinese lady broke the line. We were praying for the sick. She broke the line, came up. She had a servant that had 3 boxes of canned California fruit. You know, those have about 12, 14 cans in an case, you know, wooden case. And she had 3 of those. And those cases were 40, you know. They came from California. And this lady said, I want to give you some fruit for Tibet. And I could hear the devil roar with laughter. So the servant set it down on the side of the platform, and I looked at it, and the devil would laugh again. He said, you're going to eat that fruit in Hong Kong. So that fruit's not going to Tibet. You don't have any money to go to Tibet on. You're going to eat that fruit in Hong Kong. I said, no. If you can't be positive, neither can God. You got to remember that. I said, no, I'm going to eat that fruit in Tibet. So I took those 3 wooden cases over to my room, and I stuck them in the room, a very small room, and there they were by my bed. And the devil seemed to laugh all night about it. Fruit for Tibet, eaten in Hong Kong. And I said, no, I'm going to Tibet. He says, you can't go on a dime. You can't get downtown. Get on the ship that goes across the Hanoi, Haiphong, that little French railroad that goes up to the backside of Indochina, which is now Vietnam. That goes back into Yunnan province in the backside of China. It cost a lot of money to ride it. And you don't have any. And I didn't know anything about it. I said, yeah. A few nights later, that same little woman broke the line again. She says, may I talk to you a moment? I said, yes. She says, I'm the one who brought the fruit. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you. So I went in my room. She said, my husband is a general in Chiang Kai-shek's army. He says, we are very wealthy people. He sent me down to the British hospital here to get an operation for cancer in my belly. And said, I came and they x-rayed me. Said, yeah, you're eaten up with cancer. Says, we may operate, we don't know, but you have to build up some strength first. She said, the first night I got out on the street, looked up and saw a sign, and the only word on it was healing. Says, I just looked at it and said, healing, healing. Heal means to get better. Healing, getting better. She had never seen anything like it in her life. It was a healing crusade. And she says, I'll go and see what this is about. And she was one of those little women that made the circle 2 or 3 times every night. She said, the next day I went back to the hospital, and I said, I want you to x-ray me, please. Says, compare it to yesterday's x-ray. And says, they did, and the doctors came back and the funniest looking faces. They said, are you the same woman as you yesterday? Yeah, I'm the same one. Says, that cancer's gone.
Glory to God.
Says, it was all over your belly. Inside, it's not there anymore. She said, you sure? I said, well, there's the x-rays if you can read them. Because I came back, but I didn't tell you. I just got in the healing line again. Get healed. So the next day, I went back to the hospital, and I said, more x-rays, please. And if you've got money, they'll make x-rays for you. And so she had another x-ray made. The doctor said, see, you had cancer. You don't, and you don't. She says, are you satisfied now? She came back for prayer the next night to be healed. I asked one woman, I said, woman, didn't I see you here last night getting prayed for? Yeah. Well, did you get healed? Yeah. I said, what are you doing up here tonight? Well, I heard you going to Tibet. And says, I might get sick while you're gone. And I'll get this one, and I'll use it while you're gone. I said, I knew you Chinese were the smartest people in the world. I knew that. So she went four times and got x-rayed. Finally, the doctor said, don't come back here anymore. He says, we'll put these x-rays in big containers and you can take them back to your husband. He can call in a doctor. You'll see that the thing is gone, that you don't. And they said, you don't have any pain? You don't use any medicine? No pain and no medicine. He says, well, you don't have any. So we don't know what happened, but we just know that you don't have cancer. And so she said, I was praying, and the Lord said, no. You've been blessed by this young American. Says, you need to give him the money that you would give to the doctor and to the hospital. So she said, that seems fair. I'll do that, Lord. And she said, I brought you the money. And it was in one of these little envelopes, bank envelopes, you know, the little brown ones, you know, not quite right as a regular envelope, go up and down that way. And she handed it to me, and I said, thank you, madam. You know, man, this is kind of fast moving. I just jammed it in my pocket and kept praying for the sick, you know. So we went ahead and prayed for the sick another hour or two, and then we went over, and on that porch where it was hot, on that porch, and all the missionaries talked again. Tibet, so beautiful. Butterflies. That line, beautiful flowers growing in the trees. It's so wonderful. It's so no place on earth is so beautiful as those snow-capped mountains. And Brother Carr said, yeah. And I had to stay quiet because I had a dime. And so we had tea and we went in. I mean, I went into my bedroom, took off my clothes, and put on my pajamas and laid down in the bed. And God said, you didn't look at that envelope. And I said, no, I didn't. I said, $100 Hong Kong is not going to help me any. And so I said, just excuse me, I'm going to sleep. I turned over and God said, you got the brown envelope there in your pocket. I said, I'll look at it tomorrow. I don't like to worry all night because I don't have enough. Turned over to go to sleep. The merchant said, you got an envelope in your pocket. I said, well, it'll bring you all get up then. So I got up and turned on the light, went over to the ship aerobe. It's kind of an old-fashioned place. A ship aerobe, and reached in, and I found that envelope. I said, I'll open it. So I tore it open. You know what it was? It was a $100 bill, American.
All right.
Did you know I had never had one in my life? Brother, in the 1930s, nobody but the banks and the mafia had $100 bills. Yeah. $1 bills is what went to church. $5 bills went to the grocery store. $10 bills went to the bank for your savings. That's about as high as anybody got. That was money. You could live all day long and eat all day long on a dollar in those days. Of course, you didn't make much money either. But there was a $100 bill. I didn't know what to do. I'd never had one. I'd always use fives and tens and twenties, but I had never had one of those. So I reached in to take everything out. They were all $100 bills. They had never been used by the public yet. Did you ever smell? Did you ever smell new money? Smells good, don't it? It's just rotten money that rotten people have used too many times. And the beer boozlers that don't smell good. I said, how many ever flip money? Yeah. I flipped it, and I said, I better count it. There were 31 $100 bills. I never had so much money in my life, you know. 3,000. $100 bills. I got ecstatic. I didn't know her name. I couldn't pronounce her name. She was now going back to her husband, who was a general in the army, and I had fruit for Tibet and money to prove it. Now, there's only one sad thing. The next morning, when we went down to breakfast, had a little envelope by my plate, and I kept. I wanted to talk some bad. I didn't know what to do. But we were under covenant not to discuss money. I wanted to share it. I wanted to say 15 for you and 16 for me. Well, being older, he should get the 16. But we had a covenant that we couldn't talk about money. So I was just... So I spoke up and I said, I'm going down to buy my ticket today. Don't know whether the car is ready for his or not, but I'm going down to buy my ticket today. And all those missionaries looked at one another. I was just a kid. I was the youngest one present, you know. We hadn't gotten any offer yet from the local church, which would be dividing. And sure enough, it went on down. I bought my ticket across the Gulf of Tonkin into what you call, well, it was French Indochina that day, you call it Vietnam today. I bought my ticket on that little narrow gauge rail that went 3 days journey back into the mountains, terrible mountains in the southwest China. And I went to get one of those things cashed, one of those $100 bills. Well, $1 American was 2,500 of theirs. So when I went to the bank, I took a big suitcase with me. Empty. Cash $100 and needed help. I couldn't get it all in the suitcase, but finally. And it was real money. Real money. You say, did you live all through China? All through Tibet? No, honey. I lived through Russia, Siberia, Japan, Korea, and Poland. For that money, I got used up. It was good money. When you only have a dime and you got Jesus, you got it made. God was training me to be a person of faith. And you know what I desire with all my heart? That when I die, if I die, that's kind of, may not happen, you know. I've been here so many generations already. That if I die, I want to put a little tombstone. And I don't want them to mention that I was a pastor. And I don't want them to mention that I was a missionary. I don't want them to mention that I was an author that wrote books. And I don't want them to mention that I was, you know, a missionary of any kind. I didn't want them to mention anything about television stations. I only want them to put one little line on there. Here lies Lester Sumrall, a man of faith. That's all I want. I'll be quite satisfied. A man of faith. How did it come? It grew like a godly vine. Yours will grow. You know why yours don't grow? You won't work it. You got to keep replanting that seed, you know. And if you don't work it, it won't grow. We own 10 TV stations, 9 of them on the air, and the one over in Oklahoma City will be on the air shortly from now. And God gave them to us, you see. But we had to take them by faith. We didn't have money. We just had to say, hey, I believe. And that first TV station that I bought, I signed my name to it. And the man we bought it from says, oh, I'd love to do business with prosperous people like you. I said, thank you, sir. Thank you. It wasn't 3 weeks before a man in Oregon sent me a check for $125,000. I didn't know him. Never did know him. He just in a meeting like this. Another man, another doctor. Thank God for the doctors. I wish the lawyers would catch on. Another doctor gave me $65,000. And I said, hey, Lord, this is great. The Lord said, no, this is great. You signed your name and my name. I said, I've never gotten money like this before. He said, you never bought a TV station before. Until you're doing more, you don't get more. God's not a waster, you see. And God wants to, I believe, God wants to bless all of us. Amen. My wife and I came home from the Philippines. We didn't have a folding chair. We came home in our suitcases. All the work of a lifetime. We've given it away to others. Churches were built and let the people own them themselves. We didn't have a thing. God says, I'll bless you. And if I were to go through that, you'd be amazed at what he did. And we just walked along in faith. And he did it. But the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, you know, you've got this thing just a little backwards. I said, I thought it was pretty good. He said, no. He says, my word says give, and it should be given unto you. But you've been in the baby class all this time. Gimme, 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 Hear me. It says now, the richest gifts come when you plant and give. And then I give you more than you planted. I've never had anybody talk like that. Brother Hagin was still a little boy in Texas. He hadn't been growing with it yet. I don't know anything about the thing like that. You know what? You say, how did this thing get started then? Well, I was crossing the country from Chicago and going through Minneapolis, going up into the northwest of our country. And then in Minneapolis, I was preaching in Bible schools. I love Bible schools. And I was preaching in the Bible school there, you know, Central Bible College, and for two or three days. And I was to go out for lunch with the president, you know. And it was noontime, and I heard him scream at somebody. He said, send them home, send them home. And I'm inquisitive. I said, who are you going to send home? Brother Lindquist says, I got six young men here, and they're not paying their bill. Don't look to me like they're trying. And I'm sending them home. And I said, yeah, you can't do that. They might even backslide and go to hell because you sent them home. That's for sure. They'll be ashamed. They get home, they can't hold up their head. They failed. You sent them home. He didn't pay any attention to me. So I walked into the room where the secretary usually was. She was out to lunch. And I said, God, can't you supply the need for these six young men? God said, sure I can. Well, I said, let's do it. He says, fine. Get your pocketbook out. I said, that brand new car of yours parked out in front of the school, take the title deed, sign your name over to this school, and give them the car before lunch. You get behind me, Satan. That car didn't have 3,000 miles on it. I didn't want to give it up. God says, well, you prayed for me to supply their needs. And it says, you can do it. Get them the car. So I got my ownership title out. I signed it over to the school. Walked in there. Says, well, here's a new car out in front. It's a pretty color. It's bright red. I don't like dull colors. I said, God told me to give it. You sell it, pay their way through school, but don't ever tell them who did it, because it sure wasn't me. I wanted to keep that car. So he accepted it very joyfully and went ahead and sold the car and paid six young men through to Bible college. But I got on that old group Northern Express train the next morning. Remember those old engines, you know? Whew, they were so big. And when I got on it and sat down in the third class, I heard them starting, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. And it didn't choo-choo. It said, you're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool. I said, oh. I said, no, I'm not a fool. And I wish they could have started it with one chug, but they never could do it. So he said, chug, 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 chug. And the devil was saying, you're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool. And I said, no, no. I went on out west and then went into Alaska and raised up three churches, still the three best churches in Alaska, and Ketchikan and Anchorage and what's the town up above there?
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks. And so stayed up there. Went up in September and sailed through the winter months until the next spring and had a great time preaching. Came back and the war was on. There wasn't a single company in America making a car. Not one. They were all making tanks, machine guns. There were no cars except secondhand ones. And they were very expensive because there were no cars being made. So I preached along until I got over to Detroit. And Don Bowman, a very close friend of mine, pastored there. And so I stayed at his home. And he said, how you doing, Lester? And I said, pretty fine. Just came back out of Alaska. Had a good time. He says, Doing all right? I said, oh, yeah, doing all right. I didn't even know about the car. And I said, Mr. Gooch over here at the American Motors is a friend of mine. He's a Baptist, but he likes to hear me preach on prophecy. And I just came out of Germany and Russia, so let me get a hold of him. So he called over there for Gooch, and I talked to him, said, you got any cars? Oh, he said, no, we're making tanks over here. And says, you mean you don't have any at all? And he said, well, out on the yard out there, where they usually have, 10 or 15,000, he says, there are 200 or 300 sitting out there, smuddling them so deep like that because of the filth around the factory here. And he says, do you have a car? And I said, no, I don't have a car, no. He said, let me talk to Bowman. So he talked to the pastor, and the pastor hung up the phone and said, let's head over and see Gooch. Well, it's the middle of the afternoon. I said, well, all right. So we got in his car, and he lived on the 5 mile road there in Detroit, and the factory's over on the 8 mile road. So we went buzzing over to the 8 mile road, and he had a big steel fence open. So we drove right in, and out in the middle of that vast yard where they used to keep cars was a little glass cubicle, and this big fat man was in there, Gooch. And so I walked in. He just always loved me. Every time I'd come to Detroit, he'd come over and listen to me preach, even though he was a Baptist. And he hugged me and said, how are you getting along? I said, fine. He says, you don't have a car. And I said, I never did tell him that I'd give him out of the way. I said, no, I don't have a car. I just came back from Alaska. I don't have a car. And he says, take this rag. And he gave me a big old dirty rag about that big. He says, go out there and smudge around, see if there's any color you might like. And I said, oh, what good would that do? Oh, he says, it won't hurt you. Go do it. So I went out there and I took up the old dirty rag and smudged around. That one was black. I said, I don't want to take that one, no. Another one, it was gray. Oh, no, I don't want that one. Another one, blue. No. Then I came. to my color. Yeah. It was as red as that chair. I said, that's my kind. So I rubbed it a little bit and went walking back over. I said, yeah, there's a nice one out there, see. And he reached up and got some keys and fiddled around. And he says, go over and bring it over to me. He said, I want to look at it. And he said, here are the keys. He says, the battery's in it. And so I went over and started the thing and drove it over to the glass cubicle. By the time I got there, he had a white sheet of paper about this long, about that deep. And it says, be sure to get a Michigan State tag license plate within 10 days. Well, I said, well, Bowman must have bought a car here. And I didn't know that the factory sold cars to people that were not dealers. And he went out and pasted that thing on the car. Then he put it around in the glove box. And he came back. He says, well, I really like you. And I said, well, thank you. Appreciate that. He says, just get that car and get out of here, would you? I said, do what? You want me to go to jail, do you? I says, I don't own any car. He says, if you look in the glove box, you do. He says, drive on out of here. He says, Bowman and I have a few things to talk about anyway. I got in a good, big, beautiful four-door car. I gave away a peanut and got a pumpkin. This big car, I took it over to a place at a filling station where they wash cars. They wouldn't take any money. They wanted to touch my red car. Everybody came around and said, ooh, I said, it's mine. Say they washed that thing up. I was the only person in town with a new car. And I felt so good about it. The Lord rebuked me. He says, you don't need to feel that way. Said, if you hadn't have given your car to the Bible school students, I would not have given you this car. He did not do it. I did it through him. That'll sober you up, you know. That'll teach you what faith is all about. If you plant, you receive. Now, that's what Jesus said. But you know, some people won't plant. They'll even eat their own seed and not even plant it. To where you can get a harvest a harvest from the thing. And I said, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, I began to live like that after that. That when I want something, rather than asking for it, I give something. Because I'm planting it for something bigger than I have. Don't have enough to get what I need, so I give what I got to get what I need. You see? I have a seed, and I have a need. So I plant the seed to receive the need. Are you here? It works. It works, you see. Now, I wouldn't be able to have television stations today, a shortwave station that's heard all over the world, all over the face of this earth. A few days ago, we read a letter from a man in an American nuclear submarine. He said, "You sure sound good down here." He said, "All the men on this submarine are listening to you." I said, "What a letter." And his letterhead was marked for that submarine, American submarine. And they were picking up. He said, "We are in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean listening to you every day preach the gospel of Jesus." Hallelujah! But if you don't plant, you can't receive back, you see. A couple of years ago, a man walked into my office, and most of you have heard of him by now, I'm sure. And we've been good friends together, and I'd given him quite a bit of money for his missionary work. And he said, "You know, I need a truck. Would you buy it for me?" "Yeah, I'll buy it." "Don't ask me for stuff. I don't have much brains. I just give it away." I said, "Yeah, I'll buy you a truck." I said, "How much is it?" He says, $40,000. "That's just for the port where the engine is, you know, that's not the trailer." And so it says $40,000. And I didn't have it. He said, "What in the world did you do? You already said you'd give it to him." Well, at that time we were building our church in South Bend. And I looked over and we had that amount in the building fund. And so I took all of the building fund and gave it away. How many are glad that I didn't have any deacons? It's like the preacher's gone crazy. Let him leave town in a hurry before he gets something else away. You know? Yeah. I gave it away. And the devil tormented me. We had to slow the project down. We had to tell the men that we don't have any money for a few weeks just because we built that thing paying cash the day we completed it, we paid for. And so we had to slow the progress down and because we'd given our money away. And you know, it wasn't just maybe 3 weeks or 4 weeks, the telephone rang. And the gentleman on the air says, "I'm Dr. So-and-so from another city. He said, I have a love gift for you. Could I meet you at the TV station?" "You can always meet me at the TV station." I said, "Yes, sir." So I went over, and he said, "The Lord has given me some money, and I want your television station here." At that time, he wasn't Pentecostal. He says, I want your TV. So I'd like to take this gift that I have and give part of it to every minister on your station. He said, "I just thought that would be so nice." But I didn't say a word. You know, best to keep your mouth shut when it's not your money. But he said, "God spoke to me and said, I had to give you all of the money. And I didn't want to." I said to my wife, "Would you pray for 2 days and tell me what God told you?" She said, "Yes." She prayed for 2 days and also fasted. And she came back and said, "You don't like what God said." I said, "What did God say?" He says, "God told me that you're supposed to give all of that money to Brother Sumrall and you're not to divide it." And so now she says, we have to do it. We have the witness of two. But I said, thank you. And he pulled an envelope out and says, "It's in this envelope here. I said, may I pray for you? So I laid the envelope down and said, God bless this medical doctor. We're so glad he blesses so many people. Bless him and enrich him in every way that you can. And said, thank you. And he left. He and his wife left. Did you know we open those envelopes rather quickly these days? Don't we, Pastor? I opened it up. It was $150,000. And when a preacher gets a check for $150,000, you know what he does? He says, he becomes a wild Indian. Whoo, does he ever? You know, I got so happy. And God says, shut up. I said, it's a nice gift. He said, I made him do that. He didn't want to do it. Says, if you hadn't given the missionary the $40,000, I would have never have given you the $150,000. And all I could think of after that was, if you give to the poor, that you lend to the Lord, and his interest is better than Oklahoma. I believe that God can get into our bosoms, you know, that if you plant, you get back. In fact, I have to do a little planting here tonight, if you don't mind, because I have such a big need right out there in front of me, such a colossal need, that I want to do some planting here tonight. You say, well, how do you want to plant tonight? Ever since I met your wonderful pastor, such a remarkable person he is, I wanted the whole of America to see him and hear him. His words of wisdom are so inspiring. His counsel is, I was noticing as he spoke tonight, is so gracious and so kind. America, not just you bunch in Oklahoma. America needs to hear this man.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Well, we've talked to him for several years about this because we just feel like God wants to make him a national expression of the love and the power of God. I just believe it with all my heart, you know. I don't want to worry him too much, but every time I see him, I keep telling him the same thing. And since last year this time, through Brother Oral Roberts, he got that big, beautiful van out there, and he got this beautiful cameras that you're looking at here, and they belong to this church here. I'm really glad for that.
Amen.
Yeah. And I told him, it's time now. It's time now. We can't wait any longer. People will go to hell. People will commit suicide. People will become devastated and lose their faith in God. And we need you, not just in one place. We need you all over this nation. And he's ready to do that. He is ready to do that. He's ready. He's been ready all the time. But the moment has come to do it now. And from all my heart, I want us to do something tonight. You say, what do you want us to do? At least for my stations that he's on, I hope he goes on all nine of them that are on the air right now. Rod Parsley, I babied him into this television business because we worked with him when he didn't have over about just over 100 people. That good preaching, and he got it from me, of course. Well, me and Norville Hayes. Norville gave him the link of it, and I put the meat in it. We love each other extremely well. We were talking to each other just yesterday, and we talk together all the time, and we just love each other. He's a very, very beautiful brother. But he's making a mark in this country. Everywhere I go, they're talking about Rod Parsley today. A few years ago, they never heard his name. And if he'd have stayed in Columbus, they still wouldn't have known his name. Now, we want your pastors to be the same. And I want us to do it tonight. Our television ministry, Peter did it. I didn't do it. Had nothing to do with it. He says he'd like to pay cash for the first year. And Peter took off one-third of the total amount for him. And he needs about $100,000 because he don't want to go on that TV station begging. He wants to go on that TV station praising God from whom all blessings flow. I'd like to see one of the greatest printing seasons anybody ever saw tonight. And I brought my seed to plant along with me tonight. And I have 10 $100 checks here, and it's $1,000. And I want to plant that into his television ministry. And I would like for at least 100 people to get up and come down here, and let's do it together. And then let me lay hands upon you for prosperity. How many would like to have a better year than you ever had before? I'm ready for it too. The devil's had this stuff long enough. We want 100 people to come down here. And I want you to form a line from away over yonder, clear down yonder, so I can get to you and pray for you. And I want you to say, I'll give $1,000. I'll plant $1,000. Get them to start coming right now from all over this building. And it's a planting season. We're going to get back 100-fold, you see. We're not going to mess around about it. Just stand right there. The ushers will come and give each one an envelope. Make out your check to this church. And if you don't have all your thousands tonight, put in what you do have. Would someone move this pulpit back for us, please, out of the way here? And we need every usher here, down here. That's right. We're going to pray for God to prosper you. We're going to pray for God to help your planting. We want 100 people to get up, come on down here. We want him to go on. He would be the first one that I ever heard of that went on television with a year paid in advance. Never heard of it. But it's time he did hear of it. And we want to see it tonight. Come on, get up. Now. You say, Brother Samuel, I don't have that money. You don't. You will have any more if you don't get busy and start doing something for God. You have to plan, you see. God's part of this gimme business. He wants you to start planning. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And if you give, it will be given unto you. Now, I've tried it, and I've tested it, and I know it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shula baha shaka babahaya. We're going to tell that poverty devil to get out of your way. Yeah. Now, I want you to know something. When I came back to the mission field, I did not have a thing in the world. And God began to bless us. God began to bless us. God began to bless us, you know. And it was because we had learned how to plant in Jesus. Glory to God. I like to see the devil beaten down.
Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. We need just a few more. They're coming. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil don't like this, but God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Okay. Now, anybody that, have you taken up the offering back here yet, ushers?
We have ushers receive the offering.
Yeah, we want you to bring it up so we can lay our hands on it and bless it. All right, I think we're going to pray for these first, and then you'll have that by then. Let's get it all together. Brother, you come over here. That's all right. Pastor, let's lay hands on it. Ha, ha, ha. Give the heavens a loud noise. Let them hear the word of the Almighty God. Give the winds a mighty voice. Let them hear the word of God. We bless these that plant in the best soil there is, and the sinners that are out there that don't know God, those that are brokenhearted and broken homes. Lord, we're going to penetrate. We're going to go in and preach the truth to them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, we command you to be blessed. To be blessed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Kalabashia. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord. in Jesus' name. Yeah, Kaba Bahashia. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Okay. So as we take it, praise God. There has never been one who came up with less when he gave to me, saith the Lord, because I am a multiplier, and I will multiply blessings upon your lives. And if you don't know me this night, as you give unto me, I take attention to it like I did the Roman in the Bible. I heard him when he didn't know who I was. So therefore, if you will give, you will find that I'm watching and caring for you. God, we want you to bless every person in this room tonight. We believe for that. We believe for that. Hallelujah. And these that we're going to lay hands upon. Lord, we want the rest of this year to be the best they've ever had in their lives. We want all of earth and heaven to burst forth. And they will have joy, they will have peace, and they will have plenty. Now, Lord, bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them.
Yes.
Oh, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Well,
that was awesome.
What do you think about that? It's amazing to be able to hear one of God's great generals put out such a simple understanding of the Word of God. You know, I think the greatest thing I picked from Dr. Summerall tonight is the bottom line is faith is an act. You don't get more. We got to get the camera back on here. You don't get more from God until you step out and do. Now, I'm going to give you one verse, because you don't re-preach a great message like that. You just don't do it. I want to add a verse in a manner you've probably never heard it used. Well, somebody help me find it. The verse is, do unto others as you would have them do to you. I think it says, as you would have men do. Something to that effect. Matthew 7:12.
Yep.
Watch this. Let's go 7:7 to 7:14. Watch this. You've never heard this before like this, because I've never heard it before like this. I've never even said it. And if you've heard this before and not shared it with me, don't ever let that happen again. We read this last night out of Luke. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now watch. Is there a man among you, if his son asks for bread, do you give him a stone? No, a fish, a serpent. Oh. 11. If you then, being human, carnal, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to you. How do you know? That's a pretty good sounding set of verses right there.
Yeah.
I'm already impressed. I'm already saying, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And as we said last night, and pass the ammunition. But look at verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them.
Wow, that's a basic principle.
For this is the law and the prophets. Now, I've never seen that verse as a seed time harvest verse before today. Because I want you to see this. Because what happens is, let's just use Dr. Summerall's story. He said to God, can't you pay those kids' bills at that Bible college? And he said, yes, get your pocketbook out. Now, let's use this principle. Therefore, Lester, whatever you want men to do to you, you do to them, because I, God, am watching what you do, and what you do is exactly what I'm going to be able to do for you. He gave a car. He said a peanut. And when he came back out of Alaska, he got a pumpkin, a brand new car, when nobody was having brand new cars. Now, wait. We've always looked at this verse and said, whatever you want men to do to you, do to them, and then they'll do it back to you. That is not what it says to them. What Jesus, oh my God, in heaven, this is a revelation. What Jesus is saying is, what you want someone to do for you by my hand, causing them to give to you, you do for somebody else, and you get to show me what you want me to do for you. Woo! I mean, think about it. $3,000, $3,100 bills in 1935. Do you know how much money that's worth today? That would be worth probably about $300,000. That might even be worth $3 million today. Now, why are you saying this, Pastor? Because we started this year in faith, and Dr. Lester Summerall is getting ready.
I would really appreciate
if you wouldn't just interrupt me like that, even though you are myself. Let's see if we can get this all come together here. Mary, how'd the cherry pie turn out? Now, I want you to get this principle, because this is one of the greatest principles, and I never saw it. I was studying this message just the other day, because I knew I'm going to bring it here, so I'm going to listen to it first. Now, watch this. Whatever you want men to do for you by the hand of God, oh my, then let God lead you into doing that for someone else. Now, when Dr. Summerall said he... dual preaching. Okay, Roger, I said I wasn't going to preach, I know, but I gotta just say one more thing about this. He had a dime. Do you know the seed that he was willing to sow to get there was all the seeds he had sown all the way along that path, getting him to Shanghai, or wherever it was he said he was. He had sowed many different times. And those many different times, and him sowing his life to go was a seed.
Yeah.
It was a seed. And look at how that works. Dr. Summerall was busy being who he was, a preacher with healing in his hands, faith in his mouth, love in his heart, and the lady got healed, and obviously Dr. Summerall sowed the seed somewhere. Well, we know he sowed the seed at two big churches, and he didn't make a mess when they didn't give him an offering. And those two seeds that were sown probably produced, I'm going to tell you right now it did. I'm getting a word by the Holy Ghost right now. They produced this harvest for me. Whatever you want men to do to you, you let God instruct you to do, and then watch God how he brings it back from another man. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. I hope you're seeing this revelation is deep enough and broad enough and wide enough and amazing enough that we could preach right now for about 2 hours right now. However, Dr. Summerall did a good job, and he doesn't need my help. I just wanted to give you one verse tonight that was a brand new revelation to me, and what an amazing revelation it is. What an amazing revelation. Because we've wanted to love somebody who has a bad attitude, and that forced them to not have a bad attitude with you anymore. That's not what Jesus is saying. You love somebody with a bad attitude, and I'm going to help you always have the love that you need. I took care of an old lady at the store. I didn't know her and never saw her before. She was in a motor cart, hover round. She was so worth helping. I know I made her day. Yeah, way to go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, Elisa.
God bless you, Elisa.
Thank you for being with us tonight. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name, and Rob and the kids. We speak health to your family, your immune systems to be so strong that not another person catches COVID around your house ever, anywhere, in the mighty name of Jesus. Jerry Lynn, a friend of mine, has a bad toothache. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak over this toothache right now. We speak life in this tooth and healing in the tooth.
Amen.
If it's an abscess, we curse you, abscess, be gone, and life in that tooth in the mighty name of Jesus. And if it's a healer, we call them things, a filling that she needs, may God fill it with the gold of heaven.
Amen.
Say it with me. Fill my teeth with the gold of heaven.
Fill my teeth with the gold of heaven.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now.
Love you, Lisa.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we speak immediate release of this tooth situation.
Yes.
Not from our heads, not from our feet, not from our body, from that innermost depths of our spirit, man, that says life and life more abundantly in Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's receive communion together. We'll pray. And then we'll receive the New Covenant Worship Communion. For all of you that's on YouTube and you're putting your messages in, I speak the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus over you. I declare that you come to our God today. You've come here. You're bringing your mess here. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak life to you, and the blood of Jesus, and the angels of Almighty God interrupting your path to bring you life and life more abundantly in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Father, thank you for this word from Dr. Summerall. We not only receive it, but we get busy and we do it. May all of us sow into the radio program so we can get this radio program going across the nation. Just like Dr. Summerall said, we choose to sow right here, right now, today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Wow, I just got a great idea. Pray or something, love. Prophesy. Sing. I got to write a note.
Thank you for this wonderful message tonight and the revelation that we have all received from this great man of God that is a leader to us. He has paved the way for us as we go, and we thank you. We thank you for everything that we receive from these that have gone before us.
Amen. Amen. Doesn't she do a good job? She does a fantastic job. If you only know what it's like, sit on the other side of the camera and say, oh, you got to go live. I got to get that note down because too many times these thoughts come to me and then they don't come back. And I'm not sure whether I'm weak spiritually, they don't come back. But I don't like it when I'm about 3 weeks later and I remember, oh, yeah, God said that to me then. And whoops. So it's just as easy that we pull that like we did right there. Father, bless this time of faith. May every one of the believers here listen to this message and study it over and over and over again so that this level of faith that Dr. Summerall functioned in, that it becomes very ingrained inside of our being, and that you are a God of action. You are a God that is always moving and is always doing. And we choose to walk with you every single day in faith, just like this, in Jesus' mighty name. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. For those of you that might be new with us today, we'll now receive the New Covenant worship, which is communion, is what many churches call it. It was but a couple times we were doing this when we first started receiving communion. And we read that this is the New Covenant in my blood. And I'm like, wait, this is the New Covenant worship right here. They had what they called Passover. We don't have Passover. We get to worship the Lord for his wonderful provision for you and I, that once and for all, he paid this price forever. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse number 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. God's perfect love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is the head, and we are the tail. No, we are the body. And as he is, so are we. Perfect love casts out fear and all the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love. And there is no fear in the communion service when you are walking with our God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, many people say, many churches focus on verse 27. Whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Well, that is a verse of scripture. It's very true. But to all of you that are here, you're not going to do that, because we're going to examine ourselves. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. We're going to pray the prayer of rededication. And therefore, we're not going to receive it unworthily. If you sin, you need the communion service. If you're weak, you need the communion service. If you're sick, you need the communion service, because it speaks of his broken body and his blood shed. People have said, man, if you've sinned, don't come to church. Not on that week. Well, that's just wrong. If you've sinned, come to church, examine yourself, judge yourself, that you need Jesus. And now you're worthy to receive from him in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we're going to lead you into prayer of salvation. Never know who's going to be with us that's not born again. If you pray this prayer with us and you mean it from the very depths of your inner being, you will be right with God when we are finished and ready and confident to receive communion together, even if you're a really bad sinner. If you've spent years in the penitentiary because you were very wicked, it's just this prayer. And if you mean it and you're serious, and this comes from your innermost being, you will be right with God. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Put your hands out and say, and I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my life.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Manifest yourself, Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
As mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. If that's the 100th time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. In that one prayer, you went from darkness to light in one prayer. Because God doesn't do something to you, he moves you from to. You went from fear to faith. You had fear because sin produces fear of judgment. You went from your sin, which can't beat, none of us can, in our own ability. No human since Jesus died on the cross has been able to beat their own sin. Nobody. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness, and he gave you his righteousness to function in as a free gift. How amazing is that? That's amazing. The Father looked over at Jesus and said, adopt that one into the family. And according to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, you are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Right here, right now, tonight. You not only got a name change, that's what happens in America, they change your name. You got a DNA change, and you now have the very seed, incorruptible seed of my God living on the inside of you. And you might say, Pastor, how did we get all of that done in one prayer? Because God don't need a whole lot of help. He just needs an open vessel. And he's going to come in with all of himself and fill you up to overflowing so that you live in great strength in Jesus' mighty name. Your responsibility from this day forward is to walk with him every day and pray this prayer. It will help you. Say this with me, Jesus.
Jesus.
Help me walk with you today.
With you today.
Pray that prayer. If you pray that prayer from the very depth of your heart and you live with God every day that in that way, he will help you walk with him every day of your life. And we will see you in heaven. Now, they put my email address and website in there so that you have the ability to contact us. On the website is the communion service. I encourage you to begin to receive communion with us every night right here this time. Or if this doesn't work for you, find one of our videos. Every video we have, almost every video we have. I would say 99% of the videos we have, you'll find communion at the end. And just keep your one close and receive communion with us every day. If you're the mom or the dad, the leader of your home, begin to practice saying it out loud yourself so that you can lead your family in it. Because it's right in God that you train them up in the way they should go so that when they're old, they'll walk in the way of our God. And the communion service is on the website. My email address is there so you can send me a message. Tell me a story. Give me a testimony. Give me a prayer request. If you write me and ask me, I've got what I believe are the most basic 10 solid foundation verses you need in your life to be established in your Christian life. It's in an email form. Get it, study it, read it, speak it. Put the verses up on your mirror, on your walls, on the refrigerator, so that you can walk by and say those verses and build that solid foundation down inside of your life. in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Your first act as a new believer is to receive the communion elements with us. How amazing is that? Run and get some bread and water, grape juice and water, so that it will be, so that you'll be able to receive the communion elements with us, and it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Wow. All right, everybody pause. Just have things jumping around on the screen, it's all. Here we go. Ready? Hold your elements up. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
In Jesus' mighty name.
You were wounded
for my transgression.
You were bruised
for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my
is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes,
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my
body. In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplied.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive the broken body together. Thank you, Jesus, that you endured the cross, despising the shame. You called it joy so you could receive us. And we thank you for it. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus,
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus,
I have reconciliation
with you, my Father.
By the blood of
Jesus,
every sin
has been placed in remission
in my life.
I thank you for it, Jesus.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague
has to pass over
and cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be
the glorious church
without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let's receive his blood shed.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen, Roger. His truth is marching on. Let's sing one of our favorite songs about the blood. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Well, 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 what a night tonight was. Thank God for Dr. Reverend Brothers Lester Summerall. He's one of them Dr. Reverend so-and-sos that you want to follow. In the beginning of the ministry, we talked about that a lot. But we spoke on it from a point of view of you can't have your faith in Dr. Reverend so-and-so. You got to let them be an example of chasing God. And, of course, if they're your preacher, your teacher, your apostle, then they're going to come with the word of the Lord for you and a discipleship process and a training just like we've got going here. So we'll always receive from that. Any message you hear from Dr. Lester Summerall, you can stake your life on those messages, because that was a man that radically changed this whole world, his whole life. And thank God for his testimony in our lives. And we got some more great ones just like it. I found a good one by T.L. Osborne, another one by Reinhard Bonnke, and some of these other great men of God. I got a couple of really good ones from Dr. Barclay. That pastor's got some stories, man. I love to hear the stories he tells. And I was looking, I got a Holy Spirit conference where in the morning he told a lot of stories. And I was diligently trying to find what year it was, but I'll find it, and then we'll bring it to you, because they're great lessons of people applying their faith. We teach you faith here, but these are lessons of people who have stood on God's word and seen it come to pass. And every one of you that want to sow into the radio ministry, I encourage you to do so. After a message like tonight, listen, if you sow $5, that's not too small. It isn't. If you got a seed, you sow it and watch God do a mighty work as we take this message we have right here and spread it all over the whole world in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, I pray your sleep be blessed, Rebecca Smith. I declare the sleep of the righteous, of everybody in this gathering of believers, this ecclesia will be blessed by the abundant blessing of the Lord in your life. May you have dreams and visions according to Joel chapter 2. May your young men see visions and dream dreams. And may your young ladies see dreams and have visions and prophesy and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything he said. And our closing verse for tonight is, whatever you want men to do to you, do to men, for this is the law and the prophets. That's a big statement. That one there is going to have a series that'll be preached for a week or two. I can see it right now. Glory be to God. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this.
We love you.
Rebecca Smith, Roger Oxley, Dan and Gwen. Hold on. I never checked all the people that could have been here. Phyllis K. Raymond, Elisa Craig, Mary Pastorick, Bryn Sherrill. Love you. Oh, that's all that's letting me see here. Dan Cottle, Kathy Angaroni. We love you guys. Roger Oxy. Thank you for being here. Mom Cottle, thank you for being here. Jasna Parvin. Brother Ken Brumbaugh, we welcome you. Thank you for your brotherhood and your friendship. We bless all of our friends over here on YouTube. Sister Sunday Geyser, we bless you. And all them folks that show up over there and put all their weird-looking messages in, we say, in the name of Jesus, you come to our God and you find him in Jesus. Felicia Eicher, bless you, ma'am. We love you, and we call all of you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. I have lost Blog Talk Radio. Well, we call you blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Got to be here somewhere. There it is.